2018-1174, Citrix versus Dreamworks. Mr. Rocky, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, I would suggest that what makes this case unusual in my experience is we had a special master. He deliberated on all the issues that were put before him, all the summary judgment motions, Markman ruling.
How did that special master get chosen?
How was he chosen?
Yeah, how was he chosen?
The district court asked the parties to submit names. We did.
Was it Reagan? Am I saying it
right? Reagan, yeah.
Reagan? Was he on both sides?
He was on both lists. I'm not sure he was on both lists, but I think the defendants agreed to him. I know that. I don't recall whether he was on the defendant's list or not. But in all events, he was agreed to by the defendant.
Ms. Mike, is the clock running?
Oh, I'm sorry.
The special master was appointed. He deliberated on all these issues, came out with his report and recommendations, and then the district court, who indicated he really needed all the help he could get, and this is complicated technology, there's no debate about that, disregarded almost everything he said. The first round on which the district court held patent claims invalid was on the basis of enablement. And here, I think there was some confusion on the part of the district court because the district court looked at the patent and said, I see two embodiments here, movies and video games. And of course, it's important to note that the claims didn't distinguish between either. The claims talked about a video interface system, a method of integrating user voice image, etc. So they weren't specific to either. But the district court said, I'm going to consider only the patent disclosures with respect to movies. And that occurred after he had severed from consideration any claims that the plaintiff made with respect to movies. I suggest there's a basic inconsistency there. But putting that aside, the district court basically said, I'm going to read this half of the disclosure and I'm not going to pay any attention to the rest of it.
Now, it's clear from his numerous, voluminous opinions and citations that he read the entire patent and cited throughout the entire patent. Why don't you get right to the heart of why it is you think the patent discloses how an IAIS, namely an intercept adapter interface system, is properly disclosed in an enabling form with regard to movies, because it seems clear to me that the district court had a very sophisticated understanding of this technology.
Well, first of all, some of the claims talked about the IAAS. Others did not. The claims that he found invalid for lack of enablement did not, in every instance, disclose that. Where the district court, I think, made a mistake was its conclusion that...
But the IAIS depends upon the controller, and the controller is just a black box in the specifications.
That's right.
How do we, particularly in the fluid environment of movies where everything affects everything else, how is that enabling?
Well, the district court's reason, Your Honor, for that was a movie is not like a video game in the sense that it can be broken down into various components. We deal with that point on page 11 of our reply brief. And really, what the patents teach is that to manipulate these signals, and that's really what we're talking about, manipulating these signals, you can have digital files for various segments. That's shown, for example, when the movie Shrek was submitted to the Reedway studio folks for processing.
But when the donkey's talking in Shrek, there's birds in the background, and Shrek himself is arguing interlaced with it, and there's sound and considerations, and every frame is different. It's not like a video game where each character is separately programmed and separately controllable and separately can be lifted out and put in.
Well,
that's the way video games work.
Well, it is like a video game in a sense, Your Honor. The
everything's interrelated in every frame of a movie. How have you accommodated that in your patent? And show us where you've done it in the specification, if you could.
Well, the specification.
Other than just the black box that's controlled.
The patent teaches how it comes in at the appointed time and extracts the existing audio that's there. If you're going to do it for a video game or in a Shrek situation, which you do the same thing when you're talking about a movie, because remember, the movie is being presented for processing in digital form.
Yes, but the digital sound has not just the donkey speaking. It has so many other elements present at the same time.
There is background noise, Your Honor. You're absolutely correct.
Which is different from a video game where everything is kind of separate and in boxes so that you can tinker with them as it moves along.
I think really what we're talking about, how does it qualify as a video game and not a movie? And I think if you go back to, and we discussed this in our brief, if you go back to the description of what happens in Shrek, you take certain dialogue, portions of the dialogue, and the computer program singles those out and basically permits you to replace them with, for example, a child's voice. In the case of our expert, a French accent. In a movie situation, you are actually changing the content of the movie. You make a substitution in the movie the fact that the movie is put together. That's the difference. But the processing is done in the same way in either case, because you intercept certain selected portions. In the case of a movie, it's true, it has to be in digital form, but it is on a DVD. It has to be in digital form, and you process those signals by manipulating. In the case of a movie, and I think the good example of this was the movie Gladiator, which was in issue for a short time, you show a couple of bad guys on horses in a battle scene, and you go in and you take one bad guy and you multiply that many times. So you are actually changing what the ultimate observer of the movie sees. You're changing that around. That's permanent. In the case of, and Shrek's a video game, because it's not permanent. You intercept some of the dialogue and you insert in its place.
Okay, answer me one question. how would you isolate one sound in a motion picture out of all of the rest of the sounds on the audio track? Just answer that one question from the specification for starters on an interview.
You can use that intercept feature to single out a particular portion of the video.
But there isn't a particular portion of a movie. When it's all one elaborate cacophony of sound on one line in one box, and it changes from box to box, we know, as the motion picture moves along.
Absolutely. But if you stop at a particular point in time, which you can do electronically, and say, I want to focus on this particular portion of the movie, you can manipulate that particular portion in the same way as you isolate and manipulate the audio track of Shrek. Same thing. These are simply...
But the sounds are combined into one channel on a motion picture. How do you isolate out Shrek's voice or the donkey's voice or one of the gladiators? It just don't show us how to do that. Is there any way other than maybe the controller that's supposed to do that, but it doesn't give us any specification for how one of skill in the art would know?
Well, I think one skill in the art would know how to do that because it's been done before. Remember, the word fix system, which admittedly is here prior art, what WordFit did was it took just the whole section. What the Revoice Studio portion does is it focuses on particular parts of the dialogue. Because you're quite right, you have to isolate each instant that a dialogue or a picture or both are being manipulated to make a change in it.
And you have to do that for every frame of a moving motion picture.
That's right.
That's a very complex procedure. Can you show us how to do that in this way?
I do. Well, I think one skill...
Just show me real quick where it is so I can get some grasp.
I think it's all part of that interface. But you, yes, admittedly, you have to look at each particular signal. Because on at each instant in time, there is information on the DVD that allows...
Column 12, lines 32, we have the...
Which patent are you talking about, sir?
That's the 864.
Okay.
And it says it's... adapted to coupling to a video game cartridge system. Talks a lot about video games. Selectively storing and selectively outputting video processing in video games, but motion pictures, nothing.
It does not, I agree, it does not specifically address motion pictures. We suggest that one skilled in the art would recognize that the signal processing techniques are the same.
And what evidence did you produce that would support that?
What evidence? We did not submit any because the issue at the time was the adequacy of the disclosure with respect to video games.
But this was on summary judgment, and their expert submitted lots of evidence, right, about the difference between movies and video games.
He did.
You didn't have any responsive evidence?
Well, we pointed out that the person skilled in the art would know how to do that.
How? With what evidence? Your argument doesn't take the place of evidence. So, with what evidence did you demonstrate to the district court that one of skilled in the art would know how to apply the disclosure with regard to video games to movies?
Because the patent basically teaches you use the same techniques.
No, the patent doesn't say use the same techniques for movies. Those words don't appear anywhere in any of the patents. They describe in great detail videos and memes. And the district court acknowledges on 74 and 75 of the opinion that the patent gives a lot of examples of ways to implement the controller. State analysis, timing analysis, data signal analysis, signature analysis, blah, blah, blah. Lots of different ways that this could be done for video games. And then the defendant's experts go on ad nauseum explaining how movies are different than video games, and none of these disclosed methods of performing these operations that exist for video games would work for movies. None of them. And so what I need just to see from you is, because this is summary judgment, so I just need to see some evidence, anything at all that you put forward that would raise a fact question about whether these would work for movies.
The patent teaches in column 14, in reference to figure 1G.
Which patent are you on?
864.
Column 14.
A140 is the citation.
In what column?
Column 14.
Line?
Lines 45 and so forth. It talks about analyzing the image source in each respect. And we know from the, as we describe on page 11 of our reply brief, we know from the contracts that DreamWorks, for example, had with Revoice Studio. They said, you must give us these images in digital form. We've got to have separate tracks for all this. Original mixed audio, original dialogue tracks. You see, Your Honor, I think it goes to the point you're really making. If you look at mixed audio, you look at dialogue, you can split these up. Is it complicated? Sure. But does somebody skilled in the art know how to do it? Sure they do.
Because where's the evidence, though, that they know how to do it? Anything at all?
Well, in Dr. McGrew's testimony, for example, said that it did.
Where? Can you point me to where that is?
Well, I don't have it here. I'll have to get that for you, Your Honor.
The district court said that Dr. McGrew's testimony was conclusory. He simply said,
yes,
I think it can be done.
Yes, it did.
It was unsupported by any actual information, is the quote from the district court.
That's right. That's
so
what he said.
The district court asked kind of the same question my colleague just asked. Where's the evidence? And there doesn't seem to be any.
Didn't the district court also say Dr. McGrew admitted he had absolutely no expertise in motion pictures and therefore wasn't actually qualified to say whether this could be done in motion pictures?
What he said was he was not experienced in making movies, and neither were the defendant's experts either.
All right, we're giving you 2 extra minutes, so we're going to call it finished at this point and hear from Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Your Honor.
To the issues, what I'd like to address is some of the issues that are raised by the reply. There was a question that was asked by Judge Moore with regard to the selection of the special master. The special master, there were 3 people nominated by both sides, either side. So 6 people were nominated. Mr. Reagan was nominated by Mr. Rocky. I did not know Mr. Reagan before he was nominated on his resume or CV. I had no reason to object to him, and that's how he was. And the judge selected one of those 6 people based on the comments that were made. I don't believe that Judge Wilson knew Mr. Reagan, but I can't verify it. With regard to the issue of enablement, the problem is, as the court is clearly recognized, is that there are no disclosures. There is nothing in this patent directly.
Well, let's look at the 825 patent and look at column 22, lines 47 through 54. It talks about numerous ways to implement the analysis system, address and or control and or data signal analysis, timing analysis, state analysis, signature analysis, and other transforms or analysis techniques. How would one skill in the art understand those?
Well, what was submitted by the defendants in the summary judgment of Ocean was testimony from experts, and contrary to what Mr. Rocky stated, one of our experts, in fact, more than one of our experts, had experience in the motion picture industry. In fact, Mr. McGovern, who had worked in the industry his entire career and was a very experienced individual. But what the thrust of these experts stated is that they looked at this pattern and there was something that was disclosed with regard to video games. Now, whether it works for video games was another question, and we presented the evidence that it didn't even work for video games in that dynamically created environment of a video game. The judge, Judge Wilson, stated that he wasn't going to address that issue. But the evidence that we also submitted by our experts, which was uncontradicted.
Counsel, and part of the reason, just for 1 second to interrupt, that he didn't address that issue is he didn't need to, right? If broad claims are not enabled for a portion of the broad claim, it's irrelevant whether they're enabled for the rest.
That's correct, Your Honor. And with regard to that, we had argued with the time of claim construction is that, and this was opposed by Mr. Rocky, is that the claims, because there was no disclosure directed to motion pictures, the claims should be limited to simply video games. The special master actually rejected that position and stated that it applies to both motion pictures and video games. And that issue and that point was adopted by Judge Wilson.
Now, I don't mean to take you off, because I think you were responding to Judge Rader's question, and I'm looking forward to hearing your answer about the 825 patent, column 22, 47 to 54. It discloses a lot of techniques that can be used. Now, granted, it says right there for video game apparatus, but why isn't it just obvious everyone still in the art would know these same techniques would apply to movies?
Yes, it states a lot of words. I don't believe it actually discloses any techniques. But the point I was making, Judge Moore, was that when, for example, in Mr. McGovern's report and the evidence that was presented, and that was unrebutted evidence, was that for motion pictures, these techniques were not applicable. There was nothing taught in this particular patent that described how you could do this intercept or the integration. And remember, Judge Wilson talked about both of those concepts. You both have to intercept the signal, and then you have to do the integration of a new signal. Neither of those techniques were taught in this particular patent, and they weren't taught for either video or for audio. And that's what our experts stated. It was entirely unrebutted, and Judge Wilson relied on that evidence to grant the summary judgment. Now, Ed, with regard to that particular point, we don't have any position being taken by plaintiff in this case with regard to the claim construction. It accepts the claim construction that these claims are all directed to motion pictures as well as video games. And it has no evidence, and it has presented no evidence in any of its appellate papers that it's possible to do it. It has raised a red herring in its reply about these agreements with regard to Relay Studio. That issue was never raised until the reply. And furthermore, I think most significantly, it proves nothing because the Revoice relates to the video games. It has nothing to do with the motion pictures. So I think that evidence, not only does it come too late, but it proves nothing.
We do have a slight problem here in that Dr. Vacroy, is that?
Vacroy, I believe.
Vacroy. His testimony is largely excluded. Now, that puts a damper on the amount of evidence we have as to what one of skill in the art would understand, for instance, about the transform analysis. Why maybe wouldn't the transform analysis be enabling to one of skill in the art?
Well, you do have a considerable amount of evidence, but the evidence is all obviously on the defendant's side.
Well, that's because Dr. LaCroix is excluded.
Well,
and you worked hard to achieve that, so I'm...
Well, yes and no, Your Honor. It wasn't all excluded. Dr. LaCroix talked about the issue of substitution in a very conclusory fashion, as pointed out earlier in the argument, with regard to video. And what happened was, is that there was nothing discussed by the crew with regard to audio. And in an additional submission of new, basically, expert testimony, Dr. Crew mentioned this concept called transform analysis. This came out of nowhere, was never explained how it would work. It was just words that were used that supposedly represented something that was disclosed by this patent. Judge Wilson, with regard to the video aspects, he did not strike that portion of what Dr. Crew stated. He just stated, with regard to that, it was conclusory, and therefore it goes to how I will consider that particular evidence, and he gave it no weight because it was totally conclusory. There was no explanation other than it's possible. With regard to the audio, because it was untimely, Judge Wilson correctly struck that.
He also was concerned, it seems to me, Judge Wilson, about Dr. LaCroix not being skilled in the art of movie making. So it doesn't seem to me that he disregarded the testimony simply because it was conclusory, but also because he concluded that this wasn't someone of skill in the art, sort of by his own Dr. Is that not right?
Well, there are obviously two separate and independent bases with regard to the testimony. One is a foundational basis, the other is the substantive basis. With regard to the foundation, there was also no foundation with Dr. LaCroix. And so when somebody comes in and makes a conclusory statement, it can be done in motion pictures. When our experts were coming in and saying, we don't know, there's nothing in here that discloses how anything could be done in motion pictures, it was, I think, appropriate to look as to whether there was any foundation for that conclusory statement. And it turned out that not only was it conclusory, but it was without foundation. I would raise, with regard to the issue of indefiniteness, a new argument, I believe, has not been raised in the reply brief, and it has never been addressed by us because it was never raised before the reply brief. And that's the issue both for the plurality of background images and for video, that the term can mean different things in different claims, and this, there's a citation to the S3 case. Now, there was an original citation only with regard to video to the S3 citation, but the argument was never made, and I believe S3 it wasn't clear why S3 was cited in the opening brief, but I don't believe it was cited for that proposition. In the reply brief, S3 is now being cited for both of those terms, and the argument is now different than it was before, that the claims have a definite meaning. The argument is now, we agree that the claim language doesn't have a definite meaning, but it has multiple definite meanings and can mean different things in different claims. With regard to that particular issue, I don't believe that S3 is applicable here. I think the other cases that we've cited are applicable, because in S3, I believe that the specification made clear as to that the terminology did have two ways that the device could work. The electronic device, it made it absolutely clear, and it made it clear as to how it was being used in any claim that used that particular language. That's not the case here. The specification and the file history and the claims are a jumble of words, and sometimes words mean some things, sometimes words mean other things, sometimes you don't even know what the words mean. And that was the point that Judge Wilson made And I think in the reply, it's now an admission that Judge Wilson was correct in his analysis, but that we should now apply the S3 case, but without any basis or explanation as to why the S3 case is particularly appropriate here. And again, it was raised for the first time, not in the opening brief, but in the reply brief. There's only one other issue that's, I believe, of any significance, and that's infringement. I don't believe that there's much issue here that there is no evidence that's been submitted on the issue of infringement as the claim, and that claim 54 has been construed by the court. And so with regard to that, I don't have any other particular argument, Your Honor, but if there's any questions that you'd like me to address at this point.
Thank you. Rocky, you asked me so many questions before. Restore 2 minutes of rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. While Mr. Olson was speaking, I took another look at the portion of the specification, the 825 that Judge Rader referred to. And I think that is particularly illuminating on this question we were talking about earlier. And the following discussion in column 23. But the important point is here that if you've got a video game with somebody chasing somebody else, and that's the image that's being displayed, and then you've got a movie with somebody chasing somebody else, there's no difference whether it's a video game or a movie. How you manipulate the signals is the same in either instance, because those signals are all digital. Now, with respect to the argument on indefiniteness, basically what the district court said, and I don't think it's a new argument at all, the district court said video can mean pictures, video can mean sound, or video can mean both. That's the way he read the specification. Now, is that indefinite? A claim that's indefinite is one that can't be interpreted at all. That's certainly definite. It has alternative possible meanings, but it's not from claim to claim. But it is simply possibilities of three different readings of video every time it appears in a claim. On the infringement point, I would add one last point, and that is DreamWorks and the defendants have always said there's no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. We didn't have this software. We asked for the software and they said they didn't have it. Well, if the software was so important to determine whether there was infringement, how could defendants argue there wasn't?
All right, your time is up. Thank both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.
Thank you, Your Honor.